Good morning. The reading today is Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them, and there were many lying in the valley, and they were very, very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, to these bones I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied that as I'd been commanded, and I prophesied. Suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and hope is lost, and we are completely cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves. O my people, I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord God, and I open your graves and bring you up from your graves. I will put my spirit upon you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, has spoken and will act, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
I often begin sermons with a greeting in the tradition of the Apostle Paul and his letters to the early church. "Beloved children of God, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ." Today, I invite us to begin a little differently, by participating in something together. I will give you the cues. It's to take three deep breaths, taken in sync, followed by a moment of silence. So we're going to do this together. Ready? Here we go. Breathe in. Out. Three times. Inhale. Exhale. And one more time. How do you feel? Did it change anything? Are you a little more relaxed, maybe a little more centered, or just more annoyed? Maybe curious. Where is she going with this? 10 years ago, I started practicing yoga. It's resulted in countless benefits, one of which concerns the practice of breathing. Who knew something so fundamental needed to be practiced? I've learned that being mindful of your breathing contributes to physical, spiritual, and emotional well-being. This isn't earth-shattering news. Breath is life. But it can be easy to take for granted. It's not uncommon for me to suddenly notice that my breathing is shallow. Sometimes I even catch myself actually holding my breath, not intentionally. It's usually because of stress. I'm fairly confident I'm not alone in this. I don't own an Apple Watch, but I've heard there's an app where a little buzzer goes off to remind you to breathe. Remembering to breathe in healthy, full, expansive ways, it's been hard to remember to do that these last couple years, individually and as a collective whole. We've experienced stress at levels we never could have imagined. In an article I read in The Atlantic last week, and I'll include a link in the sermon when it's posted on the web, there was a crucial difference noted between May 2020 and May 2021. Looking back, having lived through a pandemic, though we're not actually through it yet, millions have endured grief, anxiety, isolation, and rolling trauma. The pandemic has been compounded by social stressors of unemployment, isolation, the rigors of full-time parenting without childcare, and a year of lost opportunities. As we continue to face the realities of racial disparity, polarizing politics, the climate crisis, raging wildfires, rising floods, breathe. It can be overwhelming to name these things. It is overwhelming to live them. We long for relief. We hunger for hope. In our story today, the prophet Ezekiel paints an even more desperate and desolate picture that is the reality for Israel. Ezekiel has a vision led by God to a valley. He finds himself in a place of despair. It's a place void of life, a valley that holds only dry bones. Life in this place has been absent for a long, long time. The vision dates back to the early 6th century when King Nebuchadnezzar ruled the day. In Israel's history, it's known as the Babylonian exile. It was a dark time marked by the deportation of political and religious leaders and the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple. Israel encountered trauma, torture, and warfare leading to famine, disease, and despair. The exile was a crisis of physical suffering, communal identity, and faith. So Israel knows the place that Ezekiel sees. The valley of dry bones is not just how they feel, it's where they live. They're not weary or exhausted. They're well beyond that. They have no hope. Their reality can only mean they must be cut off from God. Their country has died, their temple and capital city destroyed. They had once been a great nation, but not anymore. They'd once been secure and successful, but now they were completely defeated with no place to call home. I imagine their cries of despair included questions to God. How did we get here? How did this happen? Where is hope? We cannot imagine the hopelessness Israel experienced. They were a people in exile. We are not. We are not displaced. Those in power have not destroyed what's at the core of who we are. Here in Minnetonka, Minnesota, at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, Twin Cities, we are not the forgotten or the marginalized. Still, there are gifts, insights from this story for you and for me that strengthen us in faith. The story offers a glimpse of God's character, God's steadfast commitment to being present and providing a way of life. And two, as we try to make sense of where we're at and all that's happened, of the discrepancies that exist, of the suffering that continues, turning our questions to God is where our hope rests. How did we get here? How did this happen? Where is our hope? We live in a world where 80% of the world's resources are consumed only by 20% of the world's population. How did this happen? 20% of the world's population survives on a dollar a day, while another 20% of the world's population spends billions of dollars a year on losing weight. How did this happen? Fires rage, storms surge, injustice comes to life. The rich become richer, the poor are still forgotten. We've gotten into this habit of demonizing the other. How did we get here? How did this happen? Where is our hope? Can these bones live? God asks Ezekiel. Lord God, only you know, Ezekiel responds. Ezekiel doesn't answer God's question with yes or no. Ezekiel turns the question back to God. It's a slight shift, but it's a move that reveals hope. Prophesy over these bones, the Lord commands Ezekiel, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, you shall live. So Ezekiel prophesied. And hope enters in. Suddenly there's noise and a rattling, and the bones come together, tendons and ligaments and muscles take shape, and flesh covers them all. And then Ezekiel prophesies again as the Lord commands, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And so they do. The impossible becomes possible. God brings the dead to life. I don't know what part of the valley you find yourself in today. If you're in a place where all you see is dry bones of discrepancies and brokenness and injustice, suffering and grief, God speaks a word for you. Prophesy. Ezekiel shows you how. God is at work in and through you. That is a promise of this text. Give voice to where you see God showing up. Dare to speak God's plan for healing and new life. Refuse to accept the status quo. Act as if God's kingdom has already come, because it has. It is both already and not yet. God blesses you with courage to live boldly in God's resurrection promise. Nothing separates you or any of creation from God through Jesus Christ, not even death. Hope lives because Jesus lives. Jesus is alive and in the world and on the loose. The gift of faith that God has given you becomes a seed of hope for someone else. And if you're feeling you're more like one of the dry bones in the valley, know that God has not forgotten you. You can't rise on your own, but you're not in this place alone. God is here, and you are surrounded by prophets who speak a word of hope. Hear God's word for you through those who love and care for you. God's Spirit is within you, and you shall live. The Lord speaks. The Lord acts. The breath of God comes to you, not when you deserve it, and always when you least expect it. Breathe. God is breath. And breath is life. Our hope is in the living Christ. We close as we began, as God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Let's take three deep breaths together. Breathe in and out, in and out, and one more time together. Thanks be to God for Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And thanks be to God for the Spirit, who intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Amen.